We'll open up the Word together tonight to the book of 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 36. You might not have read this passage for some time, but you've likely read passages like it a number of times. Where it says, "And the Lord God of their fathers sent warnings to them." You know, I'll go ahead and read verse 14. "Moreover, all the leaders of the priests and the people transgressed more and more, according to all the abominations of the nations, and defiled the house of the Lord which he had consecrated in Jerusalem. And the Lord God of their fathers sent warnings to them by his messengers, rising up early and sending them, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God, despised his words, and scoffed at his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people, till there was no remedy." Bow our heads together tonight. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being here together. We thank you, Father, that we serve the great physician and that the great physician sees to our well-being. Father, in so many different ways, Lord, you are tending to us, specifically our spiritual health, Father. And I thank you for the interest you've taken in your people, that we might thrive, Lord, as we often say and quote, and rightly so, that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Lord, we thank you that you are the source of that abundance. Help us to yield ourselves to you, Father, and submit to you those things that would hinder that abundance. Bless us tonight as we consider this. Bless our time of fellowship and prayer here shortly, Father. Be honored and glorified in all that we do and say. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's just one of the places in Scripture, 2 Chronicles 36 is. It tells a bit of a sad story, or at least a piece of that sad story, as we consider often in regards to Israel. In regards to the people of Judah, specifically right here, he's summing up, well, the culmination, you might say, of one of the great judgments by God, or of God, of his people, his rebellious people there in Judah. I say one of the culminations because we know, if you know Jewish history, you know that there were a number of different judgments that the Lord cast upon them, that they, requested of him, for lack of a better term there, requested of the Lord in his teachings of them. They came out of Egypt. They refused his deliverance. They were sentenced to 40 years in the wilderness. Out of the wilderness that he brought them into the land of promise, they refused to receive completely that land of promise, receive the promise in its entirety, both in not eliminating the people from occupying that place, but also partaking of their idolatry and their foulness there, mingling with that world. And then that repeated cycle of warning, then judgment, then repentance, deliverance, and so on and so forth. And so when Babylon came in and captured Jerusalem, that whole time there was kind of that last great judgment that the Lord put upon Judah, that kind of shifted the face of that nation before the arrival of Messiah, before Jesus came on the scene. And our text describes well there the condition overall of that people. And what I have in my notes and what I have in regards to the theme of this lesson is that they were terminally ill, if you want to put it in those terms. They were sick with sin, that great plague of man. Jesus, we commonly refer to him as the great physician. In Matthew chapter 9 and verse 12, we know that he's capable of healing of sin, of illness and injury and natural things, but we know that he is most interested in healing of sin, and he does that. When he was asked why he ate with publicans and why he ate with sinners, in Matthew chapter 9, verse 12, Jesus said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick." And so he was that great physician. He was there to heal those ones who needed him. Now we all understand that Jesus, those ones who were well, the only ones who are well are those who have accepted him, those who have moved in faith, those who have accepted the Lord's provision for them. We were all sick at one point or another, and so we all needed that physician, but he recognized that need, and he offered himself in that role, offered himself to be our great physician. He's the only great physician that we have. And so we understand that the Jews were sick. They were sick to the measure that, as our text says there, the wrath of the Lord arose against the people until there was no remedy. And that's a sad, It's a sad place to be. We know that in the time of the flood, the great flood, all of man's heart was evil continually. And again, as we mentioned here recently, except for those eight, there was a cleansing that had to be done there. A cleansing that I do believe, and I've mentioned it a number of times, a cleansing that I believe brought more opportunity for salvation, for faith to those ones who had, well, who had begged the Lord to cleanse the earth with their sin. But it was a cleansing nonetheless. That being said, these ones in Jerusalem, these ones in Judah, these ones of God's people, they didn't need to find themselves so sick with sin. We talk about preventative medicine in our natural life. We talk about health and taking care of ourselves and trying to get ahead of things before they cause problems for us. Preventative medicine is intended to offer early detection of an issue, and then hopefully early treatment, and then hopefully then an early cure or a rapid cure, however you want to put it. And so that's what God offers us and offers all of his people. Spiritually, the Lord God of their fathers sent warnings to them. He recognized their situation. He recognized that they were ill. He recognized that they were sick, and he knew what they needed. He sent warnings to them by his messengers. He had prophets. He had different ones of different men of God, women of God also, that were in place to speak to these ones, bear out testimony to these ones, offer health to these ones. He sent warnings to them by his messengers, rising up early and sending them, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. God doesn't try to catch people in gotchas, and he doesn't try to set them up to fail. He tries to set them up to succeed. And when he sees them doing the things that aren't successful spiritually, he sends messengers to them. He sends messengers, and not in our day, not just pastors, although that's a place and that's a role. I'm a messenger. Scott's going to be a messenger, but your parents are messengers. Co-workers that are children of God, messengers that are sent to speak in those times and to give those warnings in those times that they're given. God is a big believer in that statement you hear oftentimes at the airport. If you see something, say something. When he sees something, he doesn't hide it from you. If he sees an issue, he'll share it with you. If he sees an abnormality, he'll identify it and say, that doesn't look right. He's good at it. In Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 19, he was just one of the messengers sent to this people specifically. These people in Judah in that time of the captivity leading up to Babylon coming. When Jeremiah said this in verse 19 of chapter 2, your own wickedness will correct you and your backslidings will rebuke you. If you want to see something that doesn't, if you want to see if something looks wrong, take something that's right and put the wrong up next to it. And you'll see, ooh. Yeah, it's not supposed to look like this. I need to make it look more like that. Your own wickedness will demonstrate itself to be wrong. It will be obvious. It is obvious. Your backslidings are going to be what rebuke you. You know what's going on here, and you know what's wrong. Know, therefore, and see that it is an evil and bitter thing that you have forsaken the Lord your God. There's a warning. The fear of me is not in you, says the Lord God of hosts. So, even when we're shown the early issues, even when we're shown the small things, when whatever messenger it is, and even if that messenger is merely the Holy Spirit speaking to you in a conviction or in a still small voice, telling you this is something that needs adjustment, we need to take that seriously. It's preventative medicine, spiritually speaking. And it can be dealt with, and it should be dealt with. It shouldn't be treated as the Jews treated it, but they mocked the messengers of God, despised his words, and scoffed at his prophets. One of the things that, well, oftentimes, you know, back in the day when I was a medic, I would get calls and people would ask me my thoughts on things. Allie's still a nurse, so she still gets calls from friends or whomever. And one of the things that we kind of laugh about is how often different ones will call and say, Allie, this is the situation. This, and this. Should I worry about it? You know what? No, you don't have to worry about it because of this, and this. My experience has told me that you're good to go. Okay, I'm going to call my doctor. And that's fine. That's absolutely fine. On the other hand, sometimes they'll say, I've got this going on. Should I be worried? Yes, you should be concerned about that. Unless you feel led to do otherwise, you should probably call your doctor. It's good. You know, that's fine. They go the opposite direction. That's fine. I wouldn't say that they are mocking Allie or despising Allie. Maybe a little bit of scoffing, perhaps, but These ones took that to another level when the messengers told them, this is what God is saying to you. Even if it was just in the early stages of issues, they mocked them, despised them, and scoffed at the prophets, didn't heed their health advice, if you want to put it again in that metaphor, disregarded their diagnosis, and they ignored it until what happened? There was no recourse. The Lord arose against his people till there was no remedy. There wasn't a recourse other than, again, keeping with it, surgery. Keep on going there in verse 17 of our passage. Therefore he brought against them a scalpel, the king of the Chaldeans, who killed their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion on young man or virgin, on the aged or the weak. He gave them all into his hand. What a heartbreaking, heartbreaking passage that is. Not just because of the natural atrocity that's there. And it is atrocious. What Nebuchadnezzar, well, not too long after that, becoming a man of God, I believe firmly. But atrocious what he was capable of prior to that. That's an ungodly thing. But worse still was that it was invited upon this people simply because they refused to recognize the messenger. Recognize the word that the messenger brought, that the Lord said, this needs to be addressed. And it got infected. Saints, your great physician doesn't lie to you when he suggests a remedy. When he suggests a prevention, certainly, but certainly once he identifies that there's an issue and he gives you a remedy, let him give you the remedy. We know that he cares about our preventative health. He tells us to exercise. 1 Timothy 4:7, exercise yourself toward godliness, he says. Bodily exercise profits a little. Good. Take care of your mind, your emotional health, all of that sort of thing. But godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. He wants you to exercise spiritually. He wants you to eat well too. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to who? Those who are of full age, mature in faith. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. That's Hebrews 5, 13 and 14. He wants you to eat well spiritually. He wants you to partake of the bread of life. He wants you to partake of the meat of the word, not settling just for the stuff that goes down easily. He wants to prevent you from becoming ill. He wants you to examine yourselves. If we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged, he says. If they would have judged themselves by the word that they knew to be so, by what the messenger of God had told them and told them and told them, well, then they would not have been judged so by the Lord. The Chaldeans would not have come in. Saints, he wants to prevent us from being ill, and so he tells us so. He sees something, he says something. And if something is found, if you look at yourself by the word of God, spend time with the Lord, have opened up your heart to him, asked him to show you, and you see, that doesn't look right on me, then you accept the remedy from him. When we are judged, it goes on in 1 Corinthians 11, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Now, saints, you're not terminally ill spiritually. You never will be again, having accepted the Lord Jesus. But sin can still infect. And sin can still cause problems. And little things, seemingly innocuous things, can become very, very big things in the eyes of the Lord. Very, very costly things to us in all eternity. Something I think on oftentimes is that things that seem so big to us are so small to God. But every time God says something is big, we might think that they are very, very small. But they, if they're big to God, they should be a big deal to us. So may we stay alert, may we stay vigilant, may we stay healthy, lest we follow the example of Jerusalem, mocking and scoffing, and disregarding the words that God sends us via a messenger or anything else. Instead, when something arises, do as David said to do. In Psalm 41:4, I'll close with this. The words of David, I said, Lord, be merciful to me. I've found something. This is something that shouldn't be here. Be merciful to me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against you. That sounds like preacher talk. That sounds like Bible talk. That sounds like archaic talk to so many. But these are just simple words that can happen in the very smallest action, the very smallest presence of whatsoever is not of faith. Lord, be merciful to me, I found something. Thank you for showing it to me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against you. And guess what he does? He will. He'll heal you. He is the remedy. He is the remedy for anything that we find that is outside of the lines of faithfulness. So go to him for it and trust him when he gives you that remedy.